Lori Raisley today at 865-2442. Let her arrange for you to stop by and discuss your thoughts and needs. That's the Edward L. Raisley Funeral Home in Prospect.
Well, looks like a cloudy day today. Maybe a snow shower left in our day, but no real accumulation with that. With a high of 33 today, a low down to 29. Some sunshine Saturday, Sunday, even into Monday. Temperatures 36 Saturday, Sunday 39, Monday 37. We currently have 32 degrees right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is just about 12:30. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us and have a good day.
And now, It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Friday at last. Has it been a long week for you? I've talked to several folks here at the radio station who say yes. I think it's the weather. You know, we had all that gorgeous weather in the last 3 weeks of February. It was like April. And now all of a sudden it's March, and we're back to more seasonal stuff. This is not surprising. In fact, the stuff we've seen all this week, the squalls. It was yesterday afternoon or the day before. I was out driving, and suddenly a squall, and it was zero visibility. And then 5 minutes later, it was gone. That's very typical of this time of year. So don't be too discouraged. Although the long-range forecast, I took a peek at it, and it looks like all next week going to be pretty much the same as this past week. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We have a good lineup of guests for you today. Several people are going to be visiting with us. We're going to be talking about gambling problems in just a moment or so. A little bit later on the program today, Camp Cadet will be the subject of discussion. We'll have Pennsylvania State Police Trooper Dan Keston here with us. And we're also going to be talking about, it's an interesting event aimed at underprivileged children in the city of Butler. It's a fishing event. Fishing. Gone fishing. We'll find out about that a little bit later on the program today. But first order of discussion, as I said, is gambling problems. Two guests are here in the studio to discuss it with us. Amy Black Stockham is a health educator with the Keystone Wellness Programs. Amy, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Oh, it's the pleasure is all mine. Thank you, Dave.
You and I have emailed each other about 500 times over the last 3 weeks, but it's the first time we meet face to face.
That's right. That's right. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you here. Also visiting with us is Lena Southworth. Lena is a program supervisor with the Center for Community Resources in downtown Butler. Lena, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
This, I understand, I got a news release from the governor, a call from the governor earlier this week, or last week, I guess, that said March is Problem Gambling Awareness Month. I didn't know that, Amy.
Yes, yes, yes. Each year, this time of year, we take it, us advocates in the field, we take it upon ourselves to do everything we possibly can to bring this message out to the community. Mm-hmm. We do it year-round, actually. People like myself and Lena here are out there bringing education programs and outreach opportunities to reach the community members. But at this time of year specifically, it is just deemed as an awareness month. And those people that have the funding to do this kind of work are the most active this time of year, having trainings and conferences and so forth. And that's why I initiated this conversation here today, because I want to get that out.
It's just the time for us to talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Problem Gambling Awareness Month. Lena, how do we describe problem gambling as opposed to just, enjoying going to the casino once in a while?
So problem gambling, Dave, includes all gambling behavior patterns that compromise, disrupt, or damage personal, family, or vocational pursuits.
In other words, if it's taking money away from the kids' table or causing problems with your job or whatever, then it's become a problem.
Absolutely, yes.
My bet is that we have many, many listeners who, when they think of addictions, they don't think of gambling.
No.
They may think of opioids or alcohol or nicotine or something like that, but gambling wouldn't pop into their mind straight away. Amy, right?
Yes. It's actually very much a hidden addiction, but we don't think of it. Many people don't think of it because there's no actual substance that you're taking to have this addictive behavior. It's the behavior in and of itself that becomes the addiction.
I just saw that distinction. I don't mean to interrupt you, but next week, maybe the week after, I'm not sure, I'm interviewing an author who's written about addiction in general.
Mm-hmm.
And she made the distinction between something that you take, like an opioid, heroin, alcohol, whatever, and what she called process addiction.
Yeah, it is a process
addiction.
So
this would be process.
Yes.
I mean, you don't actually ingest anything, obviously,
no.
But...
It's the behavior itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And your brain, we know from scans that they've taken, the brain actually changes in that person's act of the behavior, mm-hmm. very much like if they were to take a substance like cocaine or heroin.
Now, that's fascinating. I would never have guessed that.
Yes. Absolutely fascinating how the scans mimic those of those drugs. So they're... stimulating the same areas of the brain that these other drugs are doing.
So that would be then, and I'm not I have no medical training, and I don't want to put you folks into an area where you're not that well-versed either, but this would be similar to what people talk about when opioid addiction, of course, has been very much in the news in the past several years. And a lot of experts that I've talked to said, so many people think of this as just being weak-willed, you know. Well, if they just had a little spine, you know, they would stop taking this stuff. But I've talked to many experts who say it goes far beyond that. They actually need it, you know. It's not the fact that most of them want to quit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's beyond the physiological. It becomes a biological addiction.
I had no idea that they've actually done brain scans on people who had gambling problems. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot. We've come to learn a lot. And part of our job, both myself and Lena, is to we sit on a coalition here in Butler County, which mission and aim is to really bring about this awareness to people. But we survey each year. We survey the residents of the community to see, you know, how many people are truly being affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we could be the people to make the suggestion of, you know, what can be done to address it.
Do we have any numbers, even ballpark figures, on how prevalent gambling addiction or problem gambling is?
We do.
Yes, yes, we do. 40% of adults aged 25 to 64 know someone who they think may have a gambling problem. 15% of youth under the age of 18 know someone who they think might also have a gambling problem. So the numbers are staggering for such a small community.
Has this become more of a problem since we legalized a whole bunch of gambling here in Pennsylvania? I mean, I can remember back, this is a long time ago, I don't know, 25, maybe 30 years ago, whenever we were concerned about approving a lottery here in Pennsylvania.
Sure. Well, believe it or not, Pennsylvania is the second most revenue to Las Vegas, Nevada, when it comes to what is brought in by this activity.
Well, when state lawmakers first approved a Pennsylvania lottery, it was just like the daily number. And I don't know, a couple of other games that I've never played. You could not buy a Powerball ticket in Pennsylvania.
Right.
People had, I can remember, we did that here at work. Somebody was going to Ohio or Maryland. You'd pool your money and they'd go buy a Powerball ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And that was eventually approved here in Pennsylvania. Now, not only do we have casinos, now we have mini casinos going
mm-hmm.
up. So has mm-hmm. One of the results of that been this rather astonishing increase, Lena? I mean, you had to go to Vegas or Atlantic City before to go to a casino, right? Well, I guess Niagara, New York, one up there, too.
And that's a strong possibility. Absolutely.
Are you opposed to gambling in all forms?
No, I am not. I am not opposed to gambling. We are just spreading the message that it is Gambling Awareness Month, and that gambling can be an addictive trait.
Mm-hmm. So you're not opposed to gambling per se? It's
no,
just when it
no.
becomes
I've always
a
said here that this isn't anything we boycott.
I don't have to worry about revealing my love for a poker night once in a while, huh?
Not at all. In fact, many of the people we work with take joy in this activity, and it is a responsible activity. I've often heard professionals who work directly with clients with this addiction say things like, it should hurt to have to spend money. Even if that is, a minimal amount to buy a scratch-off ticket or something, you should have to contemplate and really think about that. We can be healthy about it by remembering certain things, setting limits and, there are a host of other things that can be done to ensure that it isn't a problem. But for those people that do have a problem, we want them to know that help is out there. Or you might be the loved one of someone and these circumstances would sound familiar to you. There is counselors that are trained in this particular addiction who would be the best resource for an individual. There's also something called Gamblers Anonymous, much like Narcotics or Alcoholic Anonymous groups that are available. But treatment and some insurance plans are covered, and if they are not, we know that it's available free of charge for individuals and family members without that kind of coverage.
Do we have a number of resources right here in our area, Butler County?
We certainly do. We have certified gambling counselors that are in the Cranberry Township. And the main number that we want to convey here today is the state helpline, where you could talk to people that have specific information to where you might be living and find that kind of help. And if I may share that phone number.
We'll do it several times. Oh. Go ahead.
Okay. The PA Problem Gambling Helpline is 1-877-565-2112.
That's a toll-free number, right? 800 number.
Yes.
1-877-565-2112. And who's able to use that? Someone who feels that they themselves might have a problem. What about a family member? What about a spouse?
Absolutely.
Can a spouse call and say, I think my husband or my wife has a problem here?
Absolutely.
And I find in talking to people, like even trying to promote my work of prevention in schools, for instance, that a lot of people, this is the hidden addiction, or because we know it really affects a small percent of the population. But I always like to think of it as it may only be 3-5% of the population that are problem gamblers, 1% of them having a pathological gambling problem. It's all of the people that those lives are afflicting. It's the loved ones, the family members that are also being affected by the addiction.
Pathological? You mean actually endangering their lives with this problem?
Really? Yes. Mm-hmm. There's such a high correlation with depressive disorder, major depressive disorder, that it's likely to occur in 3 out of 4 problem gamblers. So we are also very aware of that and the connection that brings to suicide this is one of the highest addictive disorders that leads people to suicide.
We're talking, listeners, for those of you who may have joined us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn, we're talking about problem gambling today. This is Problem Gambling Awareness Month, and we have two guests here to talk about it who are both active locally and trying to help people who battle this problem. I suspect that there are many listeners out there today who are saying, well, you know, I didn't realize that this was a real problem. I mean, I know a lot of folks who, you know, like to go to the casino every once in a while. They used to make it a kind of a vacation. You don't have to now if you want to just go to the rivers or the meadows mm-hmm. or whatever. But it's not, I mean, they don't have to go every week. They don't have to go all the time. I mentioned I enjoy a game of nickel dime poker once. I've got maybe twice a year. I mean, you know, and I have no, I can't imagine doing it, you know, on a regular basis like I have to do it. So I think a lot of people probably don't realize that people can get addicted to gambling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there are some warning signs. If you notice someone that you love may have a gambling problem, especially if they're trying to lie when they're hiding or hide what they're gambling, if they are relying on others to help them when they've lost all their money, when they are using it as an escape, when they try to win money lost by gambling more. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times people are always trying to get the big win.
So it's like a dog chasing its tail.
Yes,
the more you play,
absolutely.
The more you lose, and then mm-hmm. you play more to try to win back what you've gotten.
And I have family members that, as soon as they get their paycheck, they instantly go to the casino.
Really?
And they lose their money.
Well, the casinos over the long haul, they always win.
Yes.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be raking in all that cash.
That's right.
Paying all those taxes, too. Yeah.
That's right.
Do you think, I mentioned the advent of casinos and the rapid spread of casinos, really.
Mm-hmm.
These mini casinos are brand new. That was just approved last year. I don't think any of them are open yet, but there are going to be several of those around here, too, with a lot of slot machines and, you know, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. What about the fact that this is on TV a lot now? You know, there are mm-hmm. poker games, high-stake poker games, that are on television. I don't know. I don't watch them, but when you're clicking through the channels, you see them. Must be on at least a couple of different channels. I don't know. They seem to pop up all the time.
Yes.
You think that people watch that? And
well, the more exposure that is out there, that makes anyone at risk to it. And so what you weren't bringing up, but I knew it would be on the cusp of our discussion here today, is what the internet and online gambling might surface because of the accessibility that these things mm-hmm. can be.
Was that legalized in Pennsylvania? I can remember lawmakers talking about it at the end of last year when they were trying to finalize the budget and they, okayed these mini casinos. I can't remember. I don't think they legalized it.
The online gambling?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So it's still illegal in Pennsylvania.
That's correct.
However,
but people can access
anything
from anywhere. So, they're coming in from other countries.
I've never done that. I've never seen it. What do you have to give them a credit card or something to start with? How the heck do you gamble online?
Apparently they start with a hook.
You set up an account or something, and then
yes.
Once that's gone, you have to put more money in it or something like that. I mean, obviously, they're not going to let you play for free. So
Right. Yeah. Many of our apps, you know, getting into that technology, you know, started out as once just competitive game playing of Angry Birds or Candy Crush. Okay, mm-hmm. And then that
or
those
for
became,
those of you who are of a certain age, Donkey Kong.
There we go.
way back when.
Right, right.
So now you can gamble on your phone, too?
Yes.
Well, I guess so, if it's online.
Right, 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 right.
Wow.
Now yes.
That would be a problem.
It is, and that's why we worry about
your phone to gamble all the time.
Sure. And the youth has been a mission of ours to, you know, to address them specifically, that population, mm-hmm. Because they are just as at risk, if not more so, than the rest of the population.
So can teenagers get online and do this? I mean, you'd think there'd be restrictions on that. I guess, how do you know, right?
Yeah.
If they claim that they're over the 18. Age of 18.
Right. All you have to do is claim that.
How are you going to tell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, online. Everything is anonymous. So have you seen that around here, teenagers with a gambling problem?
Yep. We are getting it reported for sure. We see about 22% of youth being at risk for a potential gambling problem in some of the questions that our coalition has presented in our surveying. But we know what kind of events they're also likely to participate into. Youth under the age of 18 prefer sports betting above them all.
Which is March Madness.
Yes, as we embark
Super Bowl.
On...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's what it is, gambling. Yeah.
It is. In fact, this is just a funny coined phrase, but I like to use it because it sticks. But, you know, they say March Madness brings upon April sadness. You know, we have certain things that we like to say, but there's the truth in them. You know, the gambling activity may lead to some very, you know, upsetting.
Most of these March Madness bracket games are pretty simple and pretty low cost. I mean, obviously there are some where you can bet a whole lot of money, I guess. I don't know. The one we have here at the plant is $5 if you want to play. That's it. That's the most you could lose, $5.
Yes, yes. How many brackets are you playing? It might be one here at the office and one in the with your group of friends.
Well, I guess so. I didn't think about that. I have never won anything at that, so I don't play them anymore.
Yeah, yep.
And fantasy football is also a form of gambling.
I know. That's something that I've never delved into, mm-hmm. but I know people who, my gosh, they live and die by that during the football
season. And they're in five or six different leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, that I never thought about that. Youth, a lot of young mm-hmm. people involved mm-hmm. in that. Yeah. What about the idea that... gambling in movies and on TV has often been romanticized.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Look at, if you're a baby boomer, you might remember the Maverick TV series. In fact, there was a movie 10, 15 years ago on Maverick. It was a gambler, Riverboat Gambler.
Okay.
One of the great movies of all time, at least it's high on my list, The Cincinnati Kid. Have you ever seen The Cincinnati Kid? Steve McQueen,
no.
Edward G. Robinson. It's about, that's all it's about, gambling.
Okay. No. Yeah, yeah.
It's a great flick.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it leaves you with a very good idea about gambling, but a magnificent movie. But it's romanticized a lot, right, in the movies?
Well, it's a quick fix, isn't it? If we could play the Powerball and, you know, retire at the very young age, that sounds good in theory. I think you're right. I think these programs are out there to romanticize, you know, the winnings and, you know, what that might do for a person, but it's in the reality and what we try to convey in, at least in our education, is that, you know, in the reality, you're not intended to win.
Mm-hmm.
That is the statistical, fact.
This can happen to anybody, right? I knew a gentleman some time ago that lived in my neighborhood. I would often bump into him at the neighborhood convenience store, and he was a really good guy,
mm-hmm.
well respected in the community, and I would see him come in and play $70, $80, $100 mm-hmm. at a time, buying Pennsylvania lottery tickets. These are not illegal, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're daily number and the box and all that kind of stuff. And man, you just think, holy moly, you know, it's a lot of money to do on a regular basis. So it cuts across all socioeconomic lines.
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
What about people that don't have the money, though? Do gambling problems sometimes lead to crime?
Oh, yes, actually, very much so. Because what people are, and I think you were alluding to this, Lena, that you know, when they're running out of their own money, then where is it that they turn to? If it's a true addiction, you know, they're not able to stop without without help. And so they're going to turn to stealing.
Yeah.
It becomes that family members are bailing them out. So the financial burdens that it becomes not only on the individual, but we know that it's generally the family member that does that. And so that is also posing a financial problem. And that is where we see the people with this disorder. We were mentioning earlier about the high correlation to suicide is when they're in a place of such desperation and hopelessness that they would consider something as serious as taking their own life because they have nothing left. And the other thing that I often try to remember to convey is a problem gambler, is they don't have a substance to blame like these other addictions have to blame. So there is a lot of shame and a lot of, once they get to that place of desperation where there is no returning from, that's a huge, concern, and that's why we need to be getting help for people before they would ever get to that point.
What about people who like to go to the bingo parlor once a week? Would that be a problem, gambler?
I don't think it would be.
They're not losing that much money, are they?
No.
That's pretty small stakes.
That is.
Fun night out, you know. Go play bingo. Never been my game. I find it incredibly boring, but I know a lot of people that they're regulars, you know. They love it. It's good entertainment. Entertainment for them.
And that's the thing. You have to go into this behavior knowing that it's entertainment. When you go out to dinner or a movie, do you ask for your money back upon leaving that entertainment? No, this is the price that it pays for that. If you go in, you know, realizing that.
I mean, as long as it's not affecting their livelihood, then it's fine.
So should you set a limit? You're saying, well, tonight I'm going to play with whatever, 10,
right.
20 bucks, that's
right.
it.
Right, you leave your credit card at home.
It'll be like having a good dinner.
Right.
And if I win anything, that's fine, and if I lose, then I'm out the price of a good dinner, and that's it. Huh?
Correct, yes.
It's difficult to do, I'll bet, though, isn't it? Huh?
It is.
Probably in the moment, especially if you're at a casino and you've won. And then your money starts dwindling again, and you think, oh, just one more hit of that slot machine button, and I can win.
Let's give that number again.
Sure.
It's the Pennsylvania Problem Gambling Helpline. Amy, can you give us that again?
Absolutely. It is 1-877-565-2112.
And will you talk to a real person when you call that number, or will you?
Yes. You will. You get a live person who would be there to help refer you to specific help for your local area.
And Lena, at CCR, the Center for Community Resources, that's what you do there, right? You connect people to resources where they can get help. That's your main focus.
Yes, that is exactly what CCR is here to do. We do connect people to resources. I would also like to mention, though, March 19th, we are hosting a Small Games of Chance training so that people who have Small Games of Chance licenses can come and understand the rules and regulations behind having the Small Games of Chance license. That'll be held at the Staff Development Center, and you can call CCR for more information on that.
This would be like the neighborhood bingo game, right?
Exactly.
Small Games of Chance.
Yes.
Or at a bazaar or
raffles,
fundraising. Like that. Yeah. You have to get the license for that.
Absolutely.
Really? So when's that seminar again?
March 19th.
Have to register in advance?
Yes. It's from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m.
So that's what CCR's general mission is. Mm-hmm. But you, Amy, at Keystone Wellness programs, you're more education-based.
Yes.
You want to make sure that people are aware of just how serious a problem this can be.
Yes, yes. And both of us are here today because we're funded through Butler County's drug and alcohol programs to be able to offer
a member of the Butler County Problem Gambling Coalition, right?
Correct. Yes.
Drug and alcohol, yeah. Well, obviously, I know drug and alcohol, it's a lot of its funding from the state, so state representatives realize that this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think even they, I don't remember the exact details, but I think whenever they approved the casino bill here in Pennsylvania, they have, because, you know, in many of the commercials that you'll hear for the various casinos, the final tagline will be
right.
Problem gamblers.
If you have that problem. You know,
call this number. So
yeah.
That must be a requirement.
It is.
State officials are worried about.
Yeah.
Well, it's broken up homes. It's broken up marriages. It's broken up people.
Right. Taken lives.
Absolutely.
Down through the years. Yeah. So it's nothing to play around with. If you suspect that someone you know or love, especially someone you love, as a problem, a serious gambling problem. Lena went through some of the things that you can look for. Call the helpline, I guess, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
Is it difficult to talk directly to someone that you fear may have a problem? Do they tend to deny it? Or?
Yes, like as any addiction.
Mm-hmm. I can handle this. I can stop when I want to. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's no easy feat to get a person to acknowledge that this is something that they are struggling with.
And there are plenty of resources around here to help you if you or someone you know is facing this problem. Well, thanks for stopping in and alerting us to this. I learned a few things today. I trust our listeners did, too. I hope so.
Us too. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I want to give that toll-free number once again, though, in case someone was scrambling for a pencil there, Amy.
Sure.
This is the Pennsylvania Problem Gambling Helpline, toll-free.
1-877-565-2112.
Good deal. Thanks for stopping in today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Our guests on the first segment of It's Your Turn today, Lena Southworth, she is a program supervisor at the Center for Community Resources, and Amy Black, Stockholm health educator for the Keystone Wellness Programs. More to come on It's Your Turn. Please stick with us. We're going to be talking about Camp Cadet on the next segment of our program today, the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. We've got a lot of stuff lined up for you next week as well. Next week is going to be one of our most popular programs year in, year out. We're going to be doing our Antiques Roadshow on the air, where we will have antiques expert Ellen King with us, and we'll be taking your phone calls, and you can get an idea, perhaps some of the things you have, whether or not they're valuable. All of this in advance of the great antique show and sale that's coming up next weekend. So I'll tell you about that. I think Wednesday they're going to be here. Okay, take a break. Back with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words.
Dr. Catherine Szabo, practicing family medicine at Butler Health System.
Health really is a family matter. That's why I'm in family medicine. It's for families like Jessica's. As a working mom, she has a lot to juggle. So if something comes up, she knows I'm on top of the whole story. And if they need specialty care, I know the best is right nearby.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Since 1938, Hunter Truck Sales has been a leader in the trucking industry. With 19 locations, we've grown to be the largest heavy truck dealership network in the Northeast. Proudly, Hunter has employed generations of families in the region and was recently honored to be named 2017 Family Business of the Year by the Pittsburgh Business Times. Check it out online at huntertrucksales.com for truck inventory, careers, and locations. Across our network, Hunter will provide solutions for all your trucking needs.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. We're going to be talking about Camp Cadet on the next segment of the program. And why is that? Well, the next year's Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month this month is Camp Cadet. We have Vice President of Next Year Bank with us here today, Karen Brackett. Karen, always good to see you. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having us on today.
And an acquaintance of long standing is here as well. And that's Trooper Dan Keston of the Pennsylvania State Police. Good to see you. Nice to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Camp Cadet. Time to start thinking about Camp Cadet already. Now, this is a summer program.
Yes.
But I'm assuming you start taking applications rather early. Is that right?
Yes. We start taking the applications around January or February of each year. Camp doesn't actually take place until August, but a lot of preparation and things go into it, and a lot of good volunteers working hard. So we like to get started a little bit early.
Get the ball rolling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this. Maybe you don't know. Damn. Didn't Camp Cadet actually start here in Butler County?
Yes, it did, and now it has spread across the Commonwealth. So the first one was right here in Butler County in 1970. Retired Trooper Al Vish started. So a lot of people, your listeners know Mr. Vish, but
good guy.
Yes, him, him, and retired troopers Prandy and Price started it, and it has now spread. I believe there's 26 of them now across the Commonwealth.
Wow. Wow.
And, yes.
Now the one here locally, is that just for Butler County residents?
No, it's actually for residents of Butler, Beaver, Mercer, and Lawrence counties.
I see. So it's regional.
Huh? Yes, sir.
Boys and girls?
Boys and girls. It started out where it was, there was a boys' camp and there was a girls' camp for it. But you know, long ago, they have since combined. So, yes, boys and girls mm-hmm. both attend the camp.
Oh, I'm sure that goes well for the boys and the girls, too. just kidding.
Yeah.
So the Next Year Bank has selected this as the Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month. It's a great program, Karen.
It is a great program, and we're really excited about doing this for the community. As you know, we are a community bank, and it feels like it's our duty to make sure that we give back to the community. And what better way to do so than supporting a lot of the nonprofit organizations in Butler County?
Is there a significant charge for these young people to become involved in Camp Cadet?
No, it's only a $50 fee, and Camp Cadet it's an overnight camp, so they get dropped off on Sunday and picked up on Friday. And that $50, the only thing that we really charge that for is to make sure if somebody applies that they show up for the camp.
Mm-hmm. And that's only fair, because if they don't show up, you're keeping somebody else out.
Yes, and the camp itself costs us almost $40,000 a year to operate. So we really rely on nice individuals give donations, and also a lot of businesses such as Next Year. They're the ones that make the camp happen financially.
Where does it take place, Dan?
At Lutherland, which is near
Prospect.
Yes, yeah. Yes, very nice. A lot of room there for us, a lot of cabins. The cabins are very nice. Kids enjoy, and just really great atmosphere.
What do the kids do during the week that they're out there?
It's basically a boot camp type of atmosphere, but it's for kids of good character. So this isn't something, it's a reform camp or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's for kids of good character. So But being that boot camp atmosphere, what we do is we like to introduce that discipline and regimentation into their life. Some of them are, a lot of them already have that. You know, it's just something they can build upon. But they get up 5 o'clock in the morning. We go for a run. We do push-ups, sit-ups, things like that. We teach them how to march. There's also a lot of maybe some more fun activities for them. You know, some sporting events here and there. Also, there's a zip line there at Lutheran that the kids really enjoy, and we do a mock crime scene. So throughout the entire week, a large portion of the day, maybe 4 hours or so, is dedicated to that mock crime scene.
You have a flag raising in the morning?
Yes, every morning they raise the flag. Every evening they take down a flag. And a lot of that is taught to the kids, too, the patriotism and, mm-hmm. and respect for their country and their community.
You know, as you said, regimentation. And this is not for bad kids.
Correct.
There's nothing wrong with learning a little bit of that at a young age.
Yes, and a lot of the kids... they come very, very good kids that make a very limited amount of mistakes. But when we do have some kids that come that are kind of on the fence, and those usually are the most rewarding for us to work with because, they're kind of at a crossroads in their life, and a lot of people, the adults involved with them, say, gee, we really don't know what direction he's going to, mm-hmm. he or she is going to go. And those kids are always very rewarding for us. So, maybe they've made some mistakes. What we try to do, the only reason why we don't take more kids that make more serious mistakes or more habitual, it's just we don't want them to influence the other kids. The parents kind of trust that, they won't have any bad influences there at the camp.
If you're interested in sending, by the way, what age range are we talking about here?
Ages 12 to 15.
So it's young teens.
Yes.
Do parents get a form or something that they fill out and submit for possible admission? Is that how it works?
Yes, and they can go to troopdcampcadet.org. That's our website. There's applications on there. They can print the application off and mail it into the address that's on there. If you're driving and you don't have a chance to write that down, just call the barracks in Butler. You don't even have to remember my name. Just say you have a question about Camp Cadet, and you'll be put back to my extension.
Online at troopdcampcadet.org.
Yes, sir.
And you can download the form, huh?
Yes.
And, of course, you submit that, and you're either approved or not approved.
Yes.
As you said, there are some stipulations there. Yeah.
Yes.
And $50, my goodness, for a whole week?
Yes. But I always tell parents they... actually save money if they send their child to Camp Cadet. And if there's any families that can't afford that, they explain that to us, we can even waive that $50 mm-hmm. fee.
Now, it's not all learning and regimentation. These kids have a little fun while they're out there.
Oh, right? Yes. There's some swimming on some nights. We go, there's a obstacle course with a mud pit that they really enjoy, and of course we had to let them swim in the lake after that so they could get cleaned off there. And in that crime scene they really enjoy, and they get a lot of time with police officers, a lot of one-on-one time.
I was going to say, who runs the camp? It's police officers, right?
Yes, state police, local police officers, sheriff's deputies, probation officers, just have a whole lot of great people to come down. And we have a retired Marine Corps drill instructor that runs a lot of the discipline and the drill and ceremony type thing. But and the kids get downtime with these individuals where, they get to ask them questions about police work, and they get to build that good relationship with those police officers.
This is not necessarily for any young person who's thinking about a career in law enforcement or criminal justice. I mean, that may happen, but it's not restricted to those kids. Right?
That is correct. I always tell people it's for people interested in law enforcement, interested in the military, or just enjoy a challenge. Mm-hmm. That's mainly the groups that it covers.
Well, for many kids that age, I think getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning for 5 days in a row would be a pretty good challenge to start with.
yes, but they get right with the routine very quickly, so it's pretty neat to see.
Do they wear, obviously they're not uniforms, but some kind of a, I don't know, a shirt so everybody looks kind of the same?
Yes, plain white Fruit of Loom type shirts with their last name stenciled on the front and the back. We provide them shorts for the week. Then at the end of the week for the graduation, a real nice ceremony, we provide them with shorts, T-shirt, mm-hmm. and hat for the graduation ceremony.
Regimentation, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. First thing you learn when you're in boot camp.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't have to get a haircut, do you, to start
on that? Well, we tell the kids if they need one, they're probably best off to get in. They'll draw less attention to themselves. So.
I think, Karen Brackett, that one of the great benefits of this would be, especially if we're talking about kids 12 to 15, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of times kids that age, they're coming of age.
Yes.
And maybe they've had limited experience even meeting a police officer, let alone being around one.
Right.
And that limited experience might be on the negative side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where mm-hmm. something's gone wrong, one of their classmates has done something wrong, and when they see a police officer, they tend to think, uh-oh, what's up now?
Right.
Here's a chance to be in the company of police officers for a whole week on a very positive note all the way around.
You know what? Absolutely. And I've seen firsthand some of the students that have actually participated in this program. And what Trooper Kesson is saying about, you know, the respect and leadership, you see all that instilled in the participants. It's a great, great program. And for those of you that are listening and are interested, again, you can go to their website, but they're also on Facebook. And you can see all the different pictures that they've had from the previous camps. And it's a really, really great thing.
Tell us a little bit about Next Tier Connects. This is a special program through Next Tier Bank to help nonprofit organizations, right?
Absolutely. Again, because we are a community bank and we want to make sure that we are giving back to the community, we offer this program to nonprofit organizations. As you may be aware, a lot of these nonprofit organizations rely heavily on private donations and also through large companies, corporations, or even family-owned businesses. I know in the past, you know, a couple years through the state, there were the budget impasses, and, you know, a lot of these nonprofit organizations struggled. So with that in mind, you know, we wanted to make sure that these nonprofits were still thriving. So we developed this program that would allow nonprofits not only to thrive, but also for us to be helping them. And when I say helping, what we do for the nonprofit that we spotlight for the month, we sell candy in all of our branches. And all of those proceeds will then go to the nonprofit organization. We also allow all of our employees to wear jeans every Friday. They pay a $5 donation, and then for that whole month, they wear jeans on Friday. So it's a nice way to give back to the community and not only have, you know, all of our employees participate in it, but also, you know, community members coming into the bank and, you know, wanting to, you know, help make a difference in the lives of all these young kids.
Have the dates been set, Dan, for the Camp Cadet this summer yet or not?
Yes, August 5th through the 10th will be the dates.
August 5th through the 10th?
Yes.
If that sounds like a long ways off, well, it is, but reservations are already being taken, and you can, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, you can go online and get an application form. This has been around long enough, started by retired State Trooper Al Vish. I'm sure you've had some feedback from kids who went through this week-long program and are now adults, probably some of them in their 30s and 40s. Do you ever get any feedback from kids who say, boy, that was great?
Oh, yes. We, you know, a lot of the kids, in fact, we have a phase two and phase three program now because so many kids wanted to stay involved with the program. So, yes,
wow.
So we used to have allowed them to come back as junior counselors. Well, we started to get too many kids and not enough things for them to do, and these are the kind of kids that aren't there to sit around. They want things to do. So we started a phase two program, which there is a retired Special Forces Green Beret that runs that, and that's a leadership program. And he's also the head ROTC, JROTC instructor at Perry High School. Major Augustine. He does an outstanding job. The Phase 3 program, probation officers Virai and Jackson here in Butler County, along with Trooper Black from the barracks, they do the Phase 3 program, which is basically it's a principles and practice program. So everything they learned in Phase 1 and Phase 2, they try to get them engaged and to show them how to put those things into use in their life. Mm-hmm. So we always have kids that really come back and tell us that it's a great thing. And some adults, like you mentioned, we still have adults that say, you come to me and say, do you know Al Vish? And I say, oh, yes. And they say, well, I remember I went to Camp Cadet, and he was the man. In fact, our captain here in Troop D, Captain Ignatz, he went through Camp Cadet when he was young. So a lot of troopers have been through the program. A lot of local police officers.
In some cases, it does lead to a career in criminal justice or law enforcement.
Yes.
Or maybe the military, but not necessarily.
Yes.
Not necessarily.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Pretty good deal for $50. My goodness. Mm-hmm. And this has spread, starting in Butler County. It has spread all over the state now. I bet there's other parts of the country that do it too.
I have heard of some other programs and in other places as well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been any interest from a TV show or something like that to, do a special report on the good that you're doing? There should be if there hasn't been.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea. You know, it would help, let the public see what we're doing and help get us some support and spread the word. The main thing to the kids, that's why we really appreciate coming on your show here, so that the families become aware of it, so they know.
All too often, Karen, in this day and age, the only time that young people make the news is when something has gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Either they've done something wrong or something has gone bad, horribly bad in some cases, that's affected them. Witness the massacre in Florida a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And you need positive news about young people and young adults.
You know what? Absolutely. And again, going back and talking about this program, like Trooper Keston had stated, you know, they have the Phase 1, and now, you know, they've introduced the Phase 2 and the Phase 3. So a lot of these, you know, young kids, you know, come back and do the Phase 2 and the Phase 3, which I think is a marvelous, marvelous program. And, you know, keep the kids busy. You know, and instill the good values into them. I mean, the parents have, you know, done a great job to begin with, but I think this just takes it to the next level.
How many kids do you take? Does it vary, 25, 50, 60?
In all, we have space there. We're limited to, you know, the number of bunks and things that we mm-hmm. have, but we could take approximately 100 kids.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's bigger than I realized.
Yes.
Yeah. That must be quite a job. Are you out there a goodly amount of time that week?
Yes, me along with all the other volunteers, almost 100% of us are there for 100% of the time. So we sleep there. And
do you have civilian volunteers as well in addition to troopers?
We do. We have nurses, which in fact the one nurse, Mrs. Nancy Bard, she's been a nurse there since 1970.
Really?
And, yes,
wow.
And she's come back.
That?
She missed 1 year for her wedding anniversary. She went to Alaska with her husband. So, but all the other ones, she has been there, and we have other nurses that volunteer with us. Some of the people that have moved on from the Phase 3 program and the young adults, usually if they're considering a law enforcement career, something they like to come back as some adult counselors. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's a good thing to put on your resume too.
Yes.
You know, later on.
Oh yes.
Because people know about this.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the nurse because some parents may wonder, you know, maybe some of these kids have never been away from home for a week before by themselves. Please know that they're well supervised.
Our
state police staying there
Absolutely.
For goodness sakes overnight. And a nurse and everything else, so they're well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sometimes at that age, it's good for a young person, a young boy or a young girl, to experience 5 days away from home.
Yes.
Yes. Good maturation process.
Oh yes.
To say nothing of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning for
5 days. Yes.
Next Year Bank also helps nonprofits who choose to join up with you, Karen, by, well, in many cases, nonprofit organizations, they don't have the number of staff people to handle fundraising or some other things. They can afford it, quite frankly. And you're able to help out with the expertise from the bank.
You know what? Absolutely. We can provide a Next Tier Connects checking account for the nonprofit organization. Simply put, it's a free account. There's no minimum balance requirement, no service fees. So that helps in a great way. In addition, whenever they're looking to do some type of donor collection, you know, we work with an outside company and we partner with them to help the nonprofit organization, you know, collect funds, you know, at different times of the year, which then only, you know, increases, you know, their accounts and so forth. But we also, you know, help manage their cash flow through, you know, online banking and other ancillary services.
Trooper Dan Keston visiting with us. Trooper Dan and I go back quite a few years since we've been chatting. But you do public relations work for state police really all over western Pennsylvania now, don't you?
Just the five-county area here in
five
the area.
Counties?
Yes, Butler,
Beaver, I'm seeing you on TV a lot, you know.
Oh, yes, yes. When something happens wrong, yes, they, I do, do have that opportunity to provide the public with the information.
Becoming a regular stand-up reporter at some of these events here.
You see him a lot.
That's true, yeah. Well, that says a lot about, you know, about your abilities. Not everybody can do that.
I try.
Yeah, do a good job.
Thank
well, this
you.
Is a great program. I know, in fact, I can remember when Trooper Alvish was getting ready to start this, or at least it was in the early years. I can remember talking to him about it. Who knew that it was going to become so popular and spread all over the state of Pennsylvania? It's wonderful.
Yes, yes, very wonderful.
Camp Cadet for, I'd say, young boys and girls, early teens, 12 to 15,
yes.
Right? So we're talking about generally junior high age, I would guess,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, about that age. Yeah.
Yes.
Young boys and young girls, marvelous program, and the cost is only $50. What's the website again, Dan, that folks can go online and download an application?
TroopDCampCadet.org, or they can call the Butler State Police Barracks and just say, have a question about Camp Cadet, and they'll put you through to me.
Troop D is the Butler headquarters, right?
Yes, sir.
If you stop by a Next Tier Bank branch during the next month, you can help out too in a small way, right?
Absolutely. For a dollar, you can buy a pretzel, and they're wonderful pretzels. So we are hoping that we get an influx of people, maybe today and next week, and you know your money's going a long way to help, you know, Camp Cadet, Troop D.
Are there businesses and folks who make donations to help fund the program? I mean, either a monetary donation or maybe foodstuffs or something. I mean, you got to feed these kids for 5 days.
Yes, the public's been wonderful with us. You know, it's really funds the entire thing. We also ask for each family to sell, you know, a bulk of raffle tickets, but but those things just don't nearly cover the cost. So, you know, the public, you know, again, people like Next Tier Bank, other businesses, individuals. We get, you know, some individual donors that support us, and you know, without them, there wouldn't be, you know, some civic organizations also.
And hats off to the volunteers and to the troopers who
absolutely
participate in this program as well. It's a wonderful program. Good choice.
Yeah,
Karen Brackett.
You know what? We're very happy with them. You know, they do great work.
We'll take a break. We have more to come on the It's Your Turn program today. We thank Karen Brackett. She's Vice President for Preferred Corporate Services for Next Tier Bank, and Trooper Dan Keston from Troop D, the Butler Barracks of the Pennsylvania State Police. By the way, is a police training school similar to this in a way? Obviously, it's far more rigorous and far longer, but you got like the pre-dawn get up and go and that sort of thing?
Yes, this is one of our intentions, was to give the kids a little taste of the police training. So, they do enjoy that.
Does that still take place in Hershey? Is that where that is?
The Pennsylvania State Police Academy, yes, it is in Hershey.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Same care.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you.
More to come on It's Your Turn. Stick around. We're going to be talking about what I think is a pretty neat program for, I guess it's, I'm not familiar with it. We'll find out from Cindy Parker. She'll be visiting with us. It's an event that's aimed to help underprivileged children in the city of Butler. It'll be coming up a little bit later on this spring, and we'll tell you all about it, or Cindy will, in just a couple of minutes when we come back with more of the Friday edition of It's Your Turn, back after these words. For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon, Route 8 south of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289.
Dr. Jason Clark is an orthopedic surgeon for Butler Health System. He also volunteers as a high school team doctor.
We all hold our breath a little bit when our kids compete, because we know there's always the chance of an injury. For Eric and Sydney, that was a severely injured ankle. Fortunately, I have quick access to the tools and the people they need, giving them the best opportunity to get back out there.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care, but more importantly, we know why we have to.
When you lose a loved one, does anyone understand how you feel? Does anyone really know what you're going through? Only someone who's been there can possibly understand, right? And that's why Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler offers a unique, sensitive program called Someone's Caring. It's designed to help you ease your emotional pain. These are group sessions with people who truly understand how you feel, because they feel the same way. And being together helps. Men and women are invited to attend. Yes, men are realizing it's okay to express their feelings in a small, intimate group setting. We've held hundreds of sessions in the last 20 years and have helped hundreds of folks cope with their feelings. We have 5 programs: a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, for those who have lost a pet, and individual sessions. They're conducted by our own trained bereavement specialist, Robin S. Miller. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back, friends. Great to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our next guests join us here in the studio. We say hello, first of all, to Cindy Parker. Cindy, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here.
Thank you very much.
And Cindy's son, Christopher Parker, also here. Chris, nice to meet you as well.
Nice to meet you too, sir.
You're here to tell us about, it's a pretty neat program that I don't know much about. You and I talked on the telephone. It's a program to help kids learn how to fish. Am I correct on that, Cindy?
Correct.
Yeah? So how did this all come about, and who's sponsoring it?
Well, it's sponsored by Intersection Community Church. We're also reaching out to the community if anybody would like to donate to sponsor a child. We're also asking for that. Chris is actually the one that came up with the idea. He's been a longtime sportsman and fisherman. Mm-hmm. So that's more his area of expertise. But I've done outreach in the city for a very, very long time. I'm now at Intersection Community Church, and Chris brought us this idea, and We just love it because, you know, we need to be doing more for our kids in the community and getting them involved and mentoring them, you know, just giving them some skills and homing in on skills that they already have.
Are you aiming at kids who might not be able to afford this sort of thing otherwise, Chris?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. You know, growing up, I spent a lot of time at the Crick. was taught by a lot of people, good people. But most of all, you know, you see kids growing up down there that don't have the right equipment. You know, they're down there throwing stuff that, you know, they're not going to catch a, you know, a trout down there, or, you know, or they got a pole down there all duct taped up, and, you know, you feel bad, you want to help them out, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I, you know, want to start this for, you know, to help them out. Because I've been in situations at the Crick before, and, you know, other people lend a kinding hand and help me out, you know. So that's what I want. I want to give back. You know.
So this will be a one-day event. Cindy, when is it coming up?
It is a one-day event. It's March 30th, which is Good Friday, so all the kids are home from school that day. It'll run from 10 a.m. Registration is at 10. It'll end at 1. At noon, we're going to offer them a free lunch. And Chris has designed centers. Like, they'll move from between 5 and 6 different little centers, depending on the number of volunteers that we get, just to teach them basic things like the proper hooks to use as opposed to the kinds of fish they're going to catch there. Just like a general center on knowledge of creek fishing, which is different than like if you're at the lake or someplace. Casting, we're going to have a casting group there to teach them how to properly cast. Our goal is the first 10 kids to pre-register, and I have that information. We're going to give away fishing rods or a tackle box with tackle in it. And that number will grow depending on donations. His dream would be to give every kid that comes a fishing pole or a tackle box.
And where will this take place?
It is at Intersection Community Church at 120 Walker Avenue on the south side.
Is there a stream near there?
There is. It's right near the athletic field, and lots of kids fish there. That's actually, I think, that's stocked, correct, Chris?
Yes, it is.
That's Conequenessing, isn't it?
Yes.
Conequenessing Creek?
Yes.
Kind of circles around the athletic field there?
Yep.
So the kids will actually be fishing, or they'll be practicing some of these techniques in the stream?
We're not going to take them to the stream. We're going to just do stuff hands-on right there that day. But his goal is to get them, you know, motivated for opening day, which is, what is the first day?
I think the 14th of April, if I'm correct.
Oh, it's trout season.
Right? Coming right up.
Yes. Yeah.
So just kind of get them educated on the right tools to use, the right bait. Just reach out to them, you know, give them some new things to be excited about going out the first day, and educate them on laws, like the age that you need to be to get a license, you know, how many fish you can catch, how big they need to be, because those are all things that kids tend to get in a little bit of trouble over if they don't understand. You know, they're not going to go get a book until you're old enough to get a license, which I think, is that 16?
Yes.
So if you're 12 and you're fishing and you've caught, you're over your limit, or your fish aren't big enough, then you're going to get a fine. So we're just hoping to educate them, have a fun day with them, and, you know, teach them to fish. And
how do parents register kids for this event?
You can go online to myintersection.org, or Intersection Community Church also has a Facebook page, and we are on both. There's a link there. The little tab that you'll see says Gone Fishing. There's some fishing bobbers and fish on there. So when you go on to either the myintersection.org or the Facebook page, there's a tab for both. Or you can call the church and ask for myself at 283-8407.
You can give me information on that, huh? Are there any requirements? Must these kids live in the city of Butler?
Yeah, there's no requirement. It's open to anybody that wants to come and hang out. But for him, the passion has always been the city kids. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics and income barriers and stuff for kids that live in the city. Not everybody's parents working class families struggle if you have more than one child with paying registration fees and uniform costs. I mean, my son just played baseball. My youngest son just played baseball last year, and it cost us almost $400 with registration and all the equipment with shoes and all that stuff. So fishing is an age-old fun sport that kids just love to do.
And it can be a lifelong hobby, a lifelong avocation, right?
Yes.
Well, let's talk to Chris a little bit about how did you start fishing? Obviously, well, I'm guessing here at a very young age, right?
Yes. I started when I was very, very little with my father. It was the thing I loved to do. You know, it's better than getting into trouble. You know, if you can sit at the creek bank for 3 hours, you know, that's better than spending 3 hours on the street where your parents don't know where you're at, you know. So, and I think it teaches, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, idleness is the devil's workshop is an old bromide, you know, if you're hanging around trying to think of something to do, it's a lot easier to get into trouble.
That's it. That's exactly it, you know. So, I mean, that's why I loved it, you know. I wasn't getting into trouble. My parents knew where I was at, you know. So
it's therapeutic, too. I think kids, it's of your own doing. It's not something that you have to feel like you're going to strike out or you're not going to catch that ball in the outfield or, you know, you're not the best kicker or runner. This is just you and what you make of it. Like, you can go sit there, and this is what it was for him. Team sports wasn't his thing, so he loved to fish. He's been a great outdoorsman. He hunts and all that kind of stuff. So this has just always been something from a very young age that he found that was a nice refuge.
Mm-hmm. And you decided you wanted to pass this on and share this with some other kids who might not ever experience it.
Right? Yeah. It's been on my heart for quite a few years now, you know, and I never knew really how to get it going, how to really, you know, get it off the ground until this year. So we're just hoping it turns out good and, you know, we can give out pools and teach kids and, you know, teach them how to fish and, you know, keep them off the streets for time being, you know.
You said you've done a lot of stream fishing. Have you fished other places too, like in a lake or a river or something?
Yeah. You got
what's the difference?
You're
talking to a person who's not much of a fisherman here, so
you
have to help me along.
You got your creeks, you know, there.
Oh, that's running water.
Running water. Then you got your lakes. You know, that's like moraine. You got Oneida Valley. They hold your more trophy fish, like your pike, your bass, muskie, walleye, where, you know, our creeks around here, like the Kewaunee Thorn Creek. There's mostly trout. They stock it, you know. You'll catch your rock bass, your smallmouth, suckers, chubs, you know, just creek fish there.
You will you help the kids identify these different kinds of fish?
Yes. I'm going to need to print off on a piece of paper all the different species of fish that they can catch, you know, down at the creek down here.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what our plan is, so.
Every hole that he would fish in, there was always one palomino that he would, all the kids, it was the big one. All the kids wanted to catch that. So it was like the sport of everybody wanting to get that big mega palomino out of the fish.
That's called a palomino? That's a type of horse, isn't it?
This one, it's the...
It's just a slang term for...
Yeah, they call it a golden trout. Which, I mean, it came off as golden trout, but everybody calls it the palomino. And it's kind of like the trophy of all trout. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put a palomino in a hole, come opening morning at 4:30 in the morning, you got about 15 cars at that fishing hole, and everybody's casting on top of them to get them out. You know, especially kids. You know, they you know, it's unique because you don't see all the other trout in a hole. You know, you that one stands out because it's a yellowish orangish color. You know, so, and they're always the bigger ones.
Is this just a fish that's been there a while and has grown large, or
no? It's I guess it's just a, never really studied on them. I guess it's just a rare fish. I'm not sure on, you know.
What's your
Some
favorite?
Some of them are stocked.
Yeah, they're all stocked. They all come from the hatcheries. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know if it's a birth defect or what, I don't know. But, you know, you don't get, I mean, they try to put at least one or two in each hole that they stock, so. You know, somebody, I guess they have a trophy fish.
Term
fish
I'm not familiar with. I don't, and I'm also not familiar with this term of hole. Is this like a spot along a stream or a creek? I don't know whether it's an eddy or something like that.
It's your deep spots. It's your, you know, where you go from shallow to a hole, you know, you'll see it, you know, I guess it could be from 2 foot to 20 feet deep, you know, that's what you
and
consider
And that tends to
hole.
Be a better fishing spot?
Yeah. You know, usually the Fish Commission here, they usually try to stock at holes, you know, because that's where the most guys want to fish, you know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they do float stock some areas of the stream, which that's just a, you know, you get two or three guys and they got baskets and they put the fish in the baskets and with their chest waders and they walk down the creek. And they'll start releasing them. And then you got some places to where they don't. They'll just pull the stock truck up, and that's where they'll stock the fishing holes. You know.
Well, the fish move, right? I mean, they don't always stay in the same place.
Yes. Yeah. They'll move around.
Do you ever fish for salmon?
No, I haven't. Mm-hmm. Never fish for salmon.
Aren't there some up in the Lake Erie area that go up the streams?
Yeah, you
from
get
the
that,
lake?
Them are steelhead, so they're just a trout, an older trout. You know, rainbows. They the bigger they get, the older they get, they turn into steelhead. Mm-hmm. So, and then you got your lake trout up there, which are a lot bigger. So,
we're talking with Christopher Parker and his mom Cindy. It was Chris's idea. It's a pretty neat initiative, really, to hold an event that will. It's especially aimed at kids who, you know, the family might not have the financial wherewithal to purchase fishing equipment. So the event, fishing event, set for Good Friday, coming up. When is that again? March 30th. Is that what you said it was?
Yes, March 30th.
Yes.
From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and it'll be. 3-hour session on teaching kids how to fish, and they get them fishing supplies, and they get a free lunch too on top
of
everything else. Can you tell us again, Cindy, how parents can register and get more information on this?
Sure. You can go to myintersection.org, or you can go to our Facebook page. There's a link on that page that you can that'll take you to the myintersection.org, and if you are not able to navigate that or don't have the ability to do that, you can gladly call the church and ask for me, and then I'll call you back and I'll do it myself for you, registration online.
What will be the cost per child?
It is free. There
free.
Is no cost. It is a completely free event.
Boys and girls would be welcome?
That's right, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. There are lots of women who love to fish.
Yes, there is.
We know a few.
Yep. Yep.
So what's your favorite? I'm guessing here, Chris, that it would be trout fishing, if just from hearing you talk. Is that your all-time favorite?
Yeah. Trout fishing, creek fishing is what I stay with. I'm not a big lake fisherman guy, so I like the creeks.
He gets a little seasick on the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll talk more with our guests here on It's Your Turn coming up on WISR in just a moment. One of our sponsors is Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. They've been a presence there for, folks, it's almost hard to believe, 125 years. Yes, amazing. They literally have served generations of families with their shoe needs. And that's family members of all ages. If you're looking for athletic shoes, spring weather's just around the corner. They've got all your famous brands right there under one roof. There's no need to go to, you know, two or three or four different stores. At Miller's, you'll find Nike athletic shoes. You'll find New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Pro Pet, and more. They're all right there. You'll also find Timberland waterproof boots, Rockport shoes. There's a great brand of shoe, yeah. There's always a select group of men's shoes and ladies' shoes and boots that are sale-priced and on racks for easy browsing. And have you heard about SAS shoes? These are America's favorite comfort shoes. And they really are like, it feels like bedroom slippers when you put them on. They have a variety of styles and colors. Some folks think that, you know, SAS shoes all look the same. No. Variety of styles and colors for men and women. And with warm weather just around the corner, there are even SAS sandals, which are just as comfortable as their shoe. And you really, if you try a pair on, you'll see what I mean. By the way, SAS shoes are made in America. And there's not too many shoes anymore that are made in the USA. Miller's Shoes is your local headquarters for SAS comfort shoes. Mm-hmm. Give them a try. Of course, you can always be assured of the famous Miller fit, the wide selection, the great price, and a friendly smile from the Ciprians, too. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, serving generations of families from our area.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 440. The pick 3, 652. Pick 4, 5298. The pick 5, 52925. Wild ball for each of those is 6. Treasure hunt is 8, 11, 13, 21, and 25. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $50,000.
Have the thoughts of becoming a caregiver for your parents been on your mind a lot lately? Maybe you're thinking about your own life in a few years. Pretty overwhelming, and you don't know where to turn. Let me suggest attorney Michael Pater. He handles each account like they're his own mom and dad. For elder law issues, wills, power of attorney, living wills, trusts, and more, call attorney Michael Pater at the Handicap Accessible Morgan Center, downtown Butler, at 287-7724. Representing individuals, families, and businesses for over 26 years is attorney Michael Pater, 287-7724.
On average, humans walk 100,000 miles during the course of their lives. So it makes sense our feet and ankles may suffer wear and tear. Doctors William Saar and Christopher Edwards of the foot and ankle team at Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers diagnose and treat numerous injuries and conditions to help get you back on your feet. Their approach to orthopedic foot and ankle care offers a wide range of conservative to surgical treatment options. To learn more, visit TriRiversMSK.com. Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers partner with the Butler community for more than 20 years.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, good friends. Nice day to be inside. It's not bitterly cold out there. We have 30 degrees right now, but the wind is still blowing. Right now at about 12 miles an hour. Which makes it feel like around 20 degrees instead of 30. And we still have those persistent flurries and squalls. This is so typical of this time of year, early in mid-March. I was out a couple of days ago driving, and all of a sudden a snow squall hit, and it was like zero visibility for a couple of minutes, and then it was gone. And I said, that's March. Yeah, that's March. We got a little spoiled by that beautiful weather in February. Now, for people who like to fish, you got to be really anxious, Chris. I don't know. Have you ever done ice fishing?
Never done ice fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Never got into that, though.
I always thought that would be too cold.
It's cold.
It doesn't take long for me to get cold, especially sitting there out on the ice.
Yeah.
Out on Lake Arthur or somewhere.
Yeah. Never got into it. Never knew enough people that did it, so.
So tell me, tell us, tell the listeners the difference between when you're trout fishing, you're using a line and a sinker, right?
Yes.
As opposed to fly fishing. What's fly fishing?
Well, fly fishing, I guess it's mostly top water because I don't do that either.
You wouldn't be going after trout that way. That would be like bass or something.
What's
right?
that?
Fly fishing?
No, you can do it either way, but a lot of people fly fish for trout.
Oh, really?
Yes. You.
Well, I've seen it on TV because I don't fish, but they have kind of like some spare line in their hand, and they flip it out.
Yeah, they got to flip it out, they bring it back, and then they you know, that for, I guess, how far it goes, because you keep pulling line out for the longer cast, you know. So, that they do that, you know, for trout, a lot of top water for trout, and it's a skill.
Can you still cast with using a sinker, that type of thing?
Yeah, I've seen guys do it both ways. I've seen them somehow rig up to where they're dropping under, and then they rig it up for top water lures, you know, their flies and stuff, you know, which is great too. You know, if you can get into it, you know, a lot of times them trout, they like top water, you know, right before dark, and you know, right at, you know, daylight, you know, they slam them top water lures.
How did you learn all this, Chris? Are you self-taught, or did you have family members who taught you how to fish?
I had my dad. He taught me the basics. He was the lazy fisherman. He was the type of guy that would get off work, go to the creek bank, tie a granny knot for a hook, cast it in, get your V-stick, and fall asleep on the creek bank.
Well, nothing wrong with that,
no,
is there?
No, and that's how I was taught. And then, you know, I've my stepdad, he's more technical into it. So he taught me the more, I guess, I don't want to say the pro way, because, I mean, it's just fishing. So, I mean,
but do you fish by yourself usually, or can you fish in, you know, with a partner or in a group? The group gets too noisy, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, now, it all depends. The older you get, the harder it is to get your buddies to get out there with you. You know, everybody's got something going on these days. So, I mean, but I take my little brother out a lot now. So it's mostly just me and him most of the time. So
you can relax. It's a good place to do some thinking, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If you need a place to go clear your head, man, that's the place to go, you know. That's what I say. It's a quiet place, you know, and sometimes. but
it gets a little crowded on opening day of trout season.
Yeah, it'll get crazy.
I've seen some places, even just driving along the roadway, where you'll see people shoulder to shoulder.
Yep, it gets nuts.
Although sometimes that can be a family event. Cindy, you were telling me about that. You used to do that, right?
Yeah, when they were younger, we would camp out the night before, pitch a tent, camp, and then get up bright and early. And Mom's job was always cooking, so I didn't do a lot of fishing. But it is nice. It's very therapeutic. It's something fun and inexpensive that you can do with the whole family. Some of my kids I have six children. Some of them love it. Some of them just, it's not for them. But I've always enjoyed it just because it gives us great family time. Like I said, inexpensive time to get together, go out, cook out, have a good time, and everybody gets to fish.
Do you ever clean the fish right away and then eat them while you're there?
No. No.
Do you catch and release?
I do most of the time, yes. Yeah.
It's just the enjoyment of it, just the sport of it, huh?
Yeah, it's just, it's the sport of it most, you know.
Well, he has gone to Erie with some friends of his that have a boat, and they brought back walleye. And they have, when they do that, they have a big church event where they cook it for everybody, and he was kind of went out a couple times. That's how he decided that
that's a big fish, isn't
the
it?
Lake fishing wasn't for
him. They can get pretty big.
They're fighters too, aren't they?
Oh yeah,
hard to bring in.
Yeah you get hooked up to some of them big ones, you know.
Well, I think it's a wonderful initiative, Chris, that you've come up with to try to share some of your knowledge on fishing with kids. There's a fishing event coming up Good Friday It takes place at the Intersection Church, which I think I failed to mention where that is. Cindy.
120 Walker Avenue, which is the corner of Brew and Walker.
It's on the south side. It's right next to the Monarch Building on the south side.
Yes.
Yeah. And Chris, you'll be teaching kids how to fish, fishing supplies, provide them with a free lunch.
Yep.
And there's no cost.
Not
absolutely.
At all.
Yeah. For young boys and girls, give us the phone number again, Cindy, for parents who might be interested in signing up their child for this program.
If you can't do it online, you can call us at 724-283-8407 at the church, and you can ask for Chris or I, and they'll connect us so we can get you registered.
What about people who might like to donate to help make this possible? Same number?
Absolutely, yes, the same number. Stephanie is there. She's our secretary. She'll take your call and direct you on how to do that.
Is that the number for Intersection Church?
That is the number for Intersection.
People could look that up if they had to.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's a great initiative. I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
And I hope that you get good weather for fishing that day.
Me too.
Yep.
What's good weather? You don't want too hot, do you?
Oh, no. No, not hot, but not too.